Well, praise the Lord. We're encouraged to be here, and it's a joy to meet with friends in Newton Ards and to gather around the Saviour's feet. Yes, I do have this tickly cough. It's a real problem because it's activated by speech. And that's the reason why I encourage Brother Stephen so much to say that when I sit down, you have to carry on. So I give you the first point and you can work from there, but we're only teasing. I'm trusting the Lord to give me help in a matter of speaking, never mind the content of the message. My voice is good, and that's a gift from the Lord, I must say, with gladness. But at the same time, I was so bad through this week that I was contemplating cancelling the meeting, and I was in that terrible dilemma because there's nothing wrong with me other than that. It's just that when I start to speak, I'm coughing and spluttering. Maybe spluttering isn't the right word because it's a dry cough. But it's most annoying just the same. And I couldn't even speak to people on the phone without difficulty. And they were aware of that. So we came by faith that at least during the preaching time, that's what I asked the Lord to do. At least, Lord, during the preaching time, let me have the voice to deliver the word of the Lord. So it's encouraging to be here. I have joy in my heart to know that we're going to turn to the word of God together and look at what the scripture says. It's the book of Joshua. Joshua chapter 14. And while I have the opportunity, maybe you can put a marker in the place so that if we do look elsewhere in Scripture, we'll be able to get back again with ease to Joshua chapter 14. You'll see it's a great chapter. I trust before God it will be a stirring chapter. Many hearts will respond, even in this service, in ways they never anticipated. Such will be the impact of God's holy word this day. Even thinking about outreach and mission work, oh, may God prepare hearts this day and let him do it in such a recognizable manner. We'll just say voluntarily, it's the Lord's touch, it's the Lord's way of working. And we praise God for every token he has given. I notice how this chapter starts. But we have reached that stage in the book of Joshua where a summary is being made of the work that has been done, the battles that have been fought, the ground that has been taken. That's why we start with, these are the countries. If you turn back a page or two to chapter 12, you'll see that this summary really begins there, with a list of the kings, 31 in number, as you'll observe. These are the kings of Canaan, that Joshua and others had to contend with in battle in God's name. And that continues through to chapter 13 and the verse 32, which says again, these are the countries. I want you to understand that the reference in chapter 13 is to the 2.5 tribes. Can't elaborate further for the sake of time, but the 2.5 tribes, Reuben, Gad, the half tribe of Manasseh, on the far side, the eastern side of the River Jordan. Those 2.5 tribes were allowed to take possession of the land there, and Moses was the administrator then. But now in chapter 14, it's a new dimension altogether. For the 9.5 tribes that remain, just do your mathematics there and calculate on the 12 tribes, but 9.5 have still to get their inheritance. And this will be, there we go, this will be managed by Lot, as the chapter shows. These are the countries then that will be possessed by the 9.5 tribes. Oh, what a privilege to have God's word in front of us. What a privilege to be reading these words and to be whisked away back to old time to see what God did even then for his people. Chapter 14. And these are the countries which the children of Israel inherited in the land of Canaan, which Eleazar the priest and Joshua the son of Nun and the heads of the fathers of the tribes of the children of Israel distributed for inheritance to them. By lot was their inheritance, as the Lord commanded by the hand of Moses, for the nine tribes and for the half tribe. For Moses had given the inheritance of the two tribes and the half tribe on the other side of Jordan, but unto the Levites he gave none inheritance among them. For the children of Joseph were the two tribes, Manasseh and Ephraim. Therefore, they gave no part unto the Levites in the land, save cities to dwell in, with their suburbs, for their cattle and for their substance. As the Lord commanded Moses, so the children of Israel did. And those were the best days, weren't they? And we can say ourselves, just as the Lord counseled us, as the Lord commanded, as the Lord directed us, that's the pathway we took. So as the Lord commanded Moses, so the children of Israel did, and they divided the land. Then the children of Judah came unto Joshua, for they're numbered among the nine and a half tribes, you see. Then the children of Judah came unto Joshua in Gilgal, and Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, the Kenizzite, said unto him, thou knowest the thing that the Lord said unto Moses, the man of God, concerning me and thee. In Kadesh Barnea, it's a good thing to remember what the Lord told you, what the Lord said, even if you have to go back some years. I mean, he now rehearses this, verse 7. 40 years old was I. And some people were talking about ages today. Well, I'm getting on in years. Sometimes when I'm preaching, I say teasingly to the congregation, I'm getting nearer 30 every day. Indicating by that 30 is the optimum age in heaven. There'll be no old people in heaven. So far, thank the Lord, I don't really need a stick. But if I had to use one, I would then say, I'll not need this stick in heaven. Here I have glasses. I'll not be using them in heaven. I need hearing aids as well. I'll not need them in glory. There'll be no old people in heaven. But around that age, I was reading last week the stirring message of the resurrection. And it is said in Mark's gospel, when the woman got there, they saw this young man at a time sitting on the stone, another time sitting in the empty tomb, but his face was shining with heavenly luster, and he had that glorious white robe right down to his feet. And I thought to myself, that's just it. Because everybody in heaven, they have that privilege granted to them, just like him, a young man. We'll not have any pains or aches. We won't need doctor's prescriptions. It'll be a new thing altogether. You can say, praise the Lord for that. No tickly cough either. Yes. Isn't it something to say, I'm getting nearer 30 every day, my heavenly age. But there is Caleb reminding Joshua of something that happened. A memorable occurrence. A signal occurrence that occurred some years before. So here he is, verse 7. 40 years old was I when Moses, the servant of the Lord, sent me from Kadesh Barnea to espy out the land. And I brought him word again, as it was in mine heart. Oh, that means an awful lot. Nevertheless, my brethren, he's talking now about the 12 spies, remember? He and Joshua brought back the good report, and the others an unfavorable report. Nevertheless, my brethren that went with me made the heart of the people melt, but I wholly followed the Lord my God. And Moses swore on that day, saying, surely the land where all my feet have trod shall be thine inheritance and thy children's forever, because thou hast wholly followed the Lord my God. And now behold, the Lord hath kept me alive, as he said, these 45 years, even since the Lord spake this word unto Moses, while the children of Israel wandered in the wilderness. And now, though I am this day 85 years old, 85 years of age. I'm just a wee bit older than that. As yet, I am as strong this day as I was in the day that Moses sent me. This makes me just feel like shouting out, praise the Lord. Different intervals already in the reading. I just can't help that. It's overwhelming, isn't it? Isn't it stirring to your heart to read all this? As yet, he says, I am as strong this day as I was in the day that Moses sent me. As my strength was then, even so is my strength now. Do look for that word now, verse 10. Now again, verse 11. Just pick out those words if you can, where he said, now, because that's just part of his attitude. So is my strength now for war, both to go out and to come in. I'm glad I'm going to meet Caleb in heaven. And I was saying, Caleb, did the Lord let you come down from heaven that day in Newton-Ards? And we called your name and read about your wonderful spirit to press on with God. Again, now, verse 12. Now therefore, give me this mountain whereof the Lord spake in that day. For thou heardest in that day how the Anakims were there. These were the giants. And that the cities were great and fenced. If so be, the Lord will be with me. Then I shall be able to drive them out, as the Lord said. And Joshua blessed him, and gave unto Caleb the son of Jephunneh Hebron for an inheritance. Hebron therefore became the inheritance of Caleb the son of Jephunneh the Kenizzite unto this day. So the years have rolled by since, as the inspired writer puts the pen to the page, right to this day, he says, because that He wholly followed the Lord God of Israel. It was no vain thing, was it, that he did so? And God honored it. And people remembered it. Verse 15. And the name of Hebron before was Kirjath Arba, which Arba was a great man among the Anakims. He was the father of the giants. The land had rest from war. Praise the Lord for the reading of God's holy word. Just keep our Bibles open, and if you can, please put a marker in the place for easy reference, just in case we need help from God. Lord, we're before thee. Our hearts have been challenged already. We feel, Lord, the sermon was in the reading. And what we say is just a piece of icing on the cake. An extra piece for our meditation. To draw near, Lord, in thy fullness, grant for this preacher the infilling of the Holy Ghost with power. Lord, we want to be at our best for thee before life's little journey is ended. We have read of this octogenarian here, Lord, in the scriptures. We thank thee for his steadfastness, his courage, his indomitable spirit to press on with God. And we have spoken, Lord, of the honor that is put upon him, not only for his lifetime, but even during those times occupied by succeeding generations. Thank you for this congregation, for dear friends gathering here, those who belong to thee, Lord, those who need encouragement, who need help, who need a word from God, even this day. Lord, let it just be like honey out of the rock for sweetness. Let us meditate on the word. Let this word abide with us long after today. And put thy hand upon ourselves, Lord, these lives of ours. We think of dear friends here in the congregation, men and women. Some of them have a good part of their lifetime behind them. And others still, Lord, are to reach that meridian. And we thank thee for youthfulness and for the eagerness of youthfulness, for all that that means, and we pray today for a word from heaven that right, left, and center in this house there will be heart responses. A man saying, a woman too, a child, Lord, even saying, dear Savior, I am thine. Dear Lord, I want to live for thee. I want to take the rest of my time, Lord, by grace. The rest of my time, and live in such a fashion as to magnify the Lord, the King of Glory. O God, give enablement to this preacher today to set forth the word of life with power. In Jesus' name, amen. We're going to center our thoughts on verse 8 there, although the subject is larger. But verse 8 is a good starting point. Nevertheless, my brethren that went up with me, and made the heart of the people melt. But I wholly followed the Lord my God. I think it right to say everybody here in this congregation has heard of Caleb before now. He's that bold and valiant hero who, in Old Testament times, was there firstly alongside of Moses and Joshua. A great encourager, a valiant man, bold in the faith. Now, Caleb is mentioned primarily in the book of Numbers and also in Deuteronomy, and again, as we have seen here in Joshua. So primarily, we're singling out these three books of the Bible to draw attention to Caleb, the kind of man he was in his life lived out for God. Numbers, Deuteronomy, and Joshua. Now, it's true to say the name of Caleb appears after this in Scripture, because reference is made to him in Judges, and in 1 Samuel, and in 1 Chronicles. However, Caleb, never mind how valiant he is, he's not mentioned in the New Testament. Think of Hebrews 11, where you have the list of the heroes of faith, those illustrious servants of God in days of old. Caleb isn't mentioned by name, but I suspect that certain words there that do appear have an application to him. Those who wrought righteousness, subdued kingdoms, who obtained promises. And that's what Caleb did. He obtained the promise. He escaped the edge of the sword out of weakness. They were made strong. They waxed valiant and fight. All these things have certainly an application to Caleb, the man that we're looking at today. And if there had been a list of all the great heroes of the faith in the Old Testament, Caleb's name, in my judgment, would have to be there. Now, having said that, what does the Scripture say about him? There's a feature in his life that stands out more than anything else. And it's a wonderful thing to be able to draw attention to it. Look at verse 8. The last part of verse 8. He's saying here that I wholly followed the Lord my God. The verse divides the people into two companies. On the one hand, we have the 10 spies who brought back the unfavorable report. And on the other side, although Joshua is a steadfast servant of the Lord, is listed alongside of him, but for the purposes of this testimony, Caleb stands on the other side. I see this mighty man of God, valiant for the faith, and he's saying, I. And in the Hebrew language, that personal pronoun carries emphasis. And that means for you and me, we should highlight the personal pronoun I, because it is intended by the Lord that we see him as a man standing apart. I mean, we've got to keep that in mind. Such is his zeal! Such is his unflinching commitment to the Lord. He does stand apart from the rest of men. And he makes that perfectly clear in his testimony. I, no matter about others, I wholly followed the Lord my God. Look again at verse 9. And Moses swore in that day. Allow me to abbreviate. Moses has said, you have wholly followed the Lord my God. That's in verse 9. So there is a statement of fact again, supporting Caleb's testimony. And further down, verse 14, Hebron therefore became the inheritance of Caleb, because, the end of verse 14, he wholly followed the Lord God of Israel. So three times over in this chapter, this feature in Caleb's makeup and in his character just comes to the front. Here's a man who shows this qualification that he wholly followed the Lord. That's his commitment and in various ways in his life, as his name is used in Scripture, we can see how that feature stands there above them all. Here's a man who wholly followed the Lord. But then, let's be careful to notice this. On top of all that, and just to remind you, three times in Joshua 14, first of all, verse 8, Caleb says it. Secondly, verse 9, Moses says it. Thirdly, verse 14, the Holy Spirit of God says it. A threefold testimony is given to Caleb. I wholly followed the Lord. And on all sides, that's the verdict. Not just himself, not just Moses, but also the Holy Spirit saying, that's true. Here's a man who wholly followed the Lord. Isn't that inspiring? Isn't it challenging for us, even at this stage in our lives, to say, if we haven't lived like this before, for example, then let us say now, Lord, can I qualify somehow to be a person like Caleb of old, to be the Lord's property? Be able to say in terms of discipleship, I wholly followed the Lord. For there are Christians nowadays, although every Christian should be following the Lord. But there are some Christians these days, and you would have to say of them, now do they really follow the Lord? And they may not follow the Lord consistently. They're very much up and down. But here it's said of Caleb, he not only followed the Lord, but he wholly followed the Lord. Tremendous. But on top of that, there are three other instances. And I'm just going to look here and say to you, first of all, in Numbers 14, then secondly, Numbers 32, and thirdly, Deuteronomy chapter 1. I'll not look up those scriptures now for the sake of time. But I'll say this, those three areas of scripture also carry this witness concerning Caleb. He followed the Lord fully. That means, for it's simple arithmetic, isn't it? Six times in your Bible, that witness is paid to Caleb of old. Three times in Joshua, twice in Numbers, once in Deuteronomy. Here's a man you'll want to meet in heaven. And the first thing that will come to mind, this is the man that in his lifetime, fully committed, no holding back whatsoever. I told you, look for the word now in chapter 14. That just shows how instant he is in battling for God. I'm the man, he's saying. I'm following the Lord fully. Now, that's most remarkable because it's not said of any other person in the Bible that they wholly followed the Lord. And moreover, since the matter is repeated six times by the Spirit of God in the testimony of Scripture, Caleb stands out from the rest of men. There isn't anybody else in the Bible. I find this powerful. There isn't anybody else in the Bible of whom it said, he wholly followed the Lord. What do you make of that? There isn't anybody else in the Bible. And then on top of that, six times over, the Holy Spirit of God bears witness to the fact. Here is one man. He followed the Lord. Now, having said that, there is a statement about David. It's 1 Kings 14 and verse 8. You can make a note of it to look at it later. But it doesn't say there he wholly followed the Lord, but in my book, you have statement that is the equivalent of it, because it says of David, and this touches me personally, it says of David, he followed the Lord with all his heart. And I think that, yes, that's tantamount to what is said about Caleb. Well, in what way did he wholly follow the Lord? We'd have to get there above all. First of all, we're going to see that for Caleb to wholly follow the Lord meant that he would hold steadfastly to the word of God. That's one characteristic he shows through thick and thin and the ups and downs of life. He holds steadfastly to the word that God gave him. That's mighty. So we follow the Lord fully in terms of following the scriptures steadfastly. And secondly, he followed the Lord all through his life. He tells us here how old he is. I'm 85, he says, I'm just as fit and as strong. I'm just the same man now that I was back then. He's speaking of his heart, his affection, his zeal, his determination to follow the Lord, to be the Lord's own property. I'm just the same today, he says. And that's following the Lord fully. He didn't just follow the Lord when he was young and then forget about it when he was old. But no, all through his life, to the last, he was God's man. And then thirdly, he follows the Lord fully. Because no matter about others, and that comes out there in verse 8, doesn't it, of chapter 14 in Judges. My brethren, these men who should have known better, the 10 spies who brought back the unfavorable report, he said that they made the heart of the people to melt. And he had to stand alone with Joshua to speak for the Lord. And so I'm saying, he wholly follows the Lord no matter about anybody else. There's the old chorus, you'll be familiar with it. I have decided to follow Jesus, no turning back. And then there's a part that goes, though none should join me, still I will follow. And I'm afraid that many have sung the words without realizing what it would mean in practical terms, in real life, to stand alone and have your friends. And the 10 men were his friends. To have to take a different path to live was so hurtful. But even should he stand alone, he's God's man. This is the person we're looking at here in Scripture. And I think if you look at, we can just do this quickly. Look at chapter 14 in Joshua. And what I'm saying is, here's a man who unflinchingly held to the word of God. And he's not going to give it up. Now, when you're praying, and when I'm praying, we're saying, Lord, give me a promise today. And then when we get that word from God, let us hang on to it and refuse to give it up. That's the kind of spirit this man has. So what I'll do is, just very quickly, call out the words, and if you care to mark them, you can do so. I think it's a good thing, really. But look at verse 6. There, and find the words in the verse, thou knowest the thing that the Lord said. Doesn't that show you the amount of reliance that he puts upon the word of God? And as I said during the reading, this man remembers it. You and I could read a chapter, and I wouldn't want it to be so, but it's quite possible. You read that chapter, then you'll say, later on in the day, I don't really know what I read there. You could have said that. Maybe I have had occasion to lament my bad memory. Now, Caleb wasn't like that. He says, That's very strong. He says, you know, he's saying this to Joshua, the mighty man that Joshua is. But he's saying to him, you know the thing the Lord said to me. Can I just address the same words to you and say, you know what God has said in his word? And so he's clinging to God's word. And look again in verse 9. Moses swear on that day. And he has the word there that Moses gave. And that word had come from God, because the solemn oath into which Moses entered by way of engagement came from God. So it was the Lord's pledge to him. And then verse 10. The Lord hath kept me alive, as he said. As he said, those three words. Many a time I have followed that through in Scripture, from the Old Testament right into the New Testament. As he said. Because that's how God's going to keep his word. Just exactly as he said. I'll give you one of the references. It's been a personal study of mine to pick up on the references to as he said and the equivalent statement to that. But just take a note of it. We're not looking up. Matthew 28, verse 6. The scene is at the resurrection tomb. The angel has appeared. The women there who have come are overawed by the occasion. And the angel is explaining why the stone's rolled away. Because the tomb is empty. He's not here. He's risen, as he said. Falling back, not so much on the stone, or the earthquake, or the empty tomb, but falling back, I say, on the actual word of the Lord. That's where faith rests. Not on the spectacular display, although that was in the hand of God and a wonderful thing. The earthquake, the stone rolled away, the tomb being empty. These are blessings in themselves, no question about it. But it's as he said. And you can find those references. As he said. So, it's the word that occupies his mind. And we come again to verse 12. Give me this mountain. What does it say? Verse 12. Whereof the Lord spake. So at every turn, almost every verse, as Caleb speaks, he's referring to what God says. This is what the Lord says. It's like saying of him, he's a man of the book. There's going to be no variation in his approach. He's holding unflinchingly to what God says. And by night and by day, through thick and thin, it's the word of God every time. And then you get to the end of verse 12. And this is like the little phrase I asked you to remember. As the Lord said. Exactly as the Lord said. Word for word. Letter for letter. As the Lord said. Because he wholly followed the Lord in the sense that he clung steadfastly to what God had said. And he refused to give up on the word of the Lord. Now, we just give pointers to the other features, if we can. We'll not enlarge on it, but believe me, these features deserve to be examined at more length. And I'm saying he is a man who has wholly followed the Lord because of what he believes concerning God's word to him. And secondly, in spite of what others did and what others said, he refused to back down. He's hanging in there. He's holding to every syllable, to every word God has given. He says, my brethren who were with me made the heart of the people to melt. When you go home, look at Numbers 32. Because there Moses uses the word discouragement. And he says, these men, these spies just discouraged the people completely. They lost all incentive. They lost all heart. They fell down victims of their own unbelief. And missed out with God. Now, when Caleb stands, he stands apart from these men. And some of them are ready, such as the clamor against them. It's not just standing against the crowd, but the clamor, the turmoil of the day is such that they're ready to stone him. That's why he says later, the Lord kept me alive to this day. Otherwise, he was due to perish there among his own people, who were ready to stone him for saying, let us go up, we're well able to take the land. For they're saying, we're not able. And they discourage the people. Don't be a discourager. That's what I've got to pray. And you've got to pray that. Lord, let us always have a word that will encourage others to rise up and yield their lives for what remains of them. Let us yield those lives to the Lord. So, Caleb will not be influenced by others into giving up on God. It didn't make his heart melt. Let me be strong like that. Let me say, Lord, that's the word thou hast given. And lastly, my long life, right through now, he says, I'm 85 years of age. I think it was his birthday. I can't be absolutely certain of that, but in my reading, that's how I take it. Because you see there how he speaks to Moses about his conversation with Moses, that is. In verse 10, now behold, the Lord hath kept me alive, as he said, these 45 years, even since the Lord spake this word. It's just all the time what the Lord said. I'm not going to budge from it. While the children of Israel wandered in the wilderness. And now, lo, I am this day. I am today. He says. I'm 85 years old today. It's his birthday. That's the way I read it. His birthday. And he said, I'm just the same now, glory to God, that I was back then, when I was 40. Just the same today in my zeal. What did it mean to stand alone? Roughly speaking, there were about 2.5 million people in the wilderness who wandered all through those years waiting for the inheritance of the Lord. I reckon about 2.5 million in the entire congregation. And among that number, there were 600,000 fighting men. What I'm working at is this. The Lord passed the sentence of death. And the adult population, that day, when they refused him, they refused to go in, they refused to believe God. And I'm working at this. If Caleb stands alone, what kind of number are we looking at on the other side who were against him? There must have been 1 million people who died. The young people, 20 years of age and younger, they lived to see the land. But the rest of them perished, including the spies who brought back the unfavorable report. They never saw the land to possess it. And Caleb says, I stood for God. Before we go, men and women, aren't you glad you're saved? Aren't you glad to take note of the Lord's hand and his graciousness to you in your lifetime? Are you now at your best for God? Have you in any way slipped back? Or can you say, no, my heart hasn't melted. I haven't given in to discouragement. And even if others do not see their way to stand with me in principle on this word, I'm going to stick with it, that it will be exactly as the Lord has said. That's the way I look at my Bible. And when Caleb stood virtually alone to go through with God, he had the vast congregation of the children of Israel against him. Bad enough for the Canaanites to be against him, but to have Israel against him. Can I read two verses from chapter 15 in Joshua 13 and 14? This is the conclusion. Unto Caleb, Joshua 15, verse 13. Unto Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, he gave a part among the children of Judah, according to the word, according to the commandment of the Lord to Joshua. Even the city of Arba, father of Anak, which city is Hebron? And Caleb drove this. No matter what age he was still valiant for God. He drove thence the three sons, the giants of Anak. And so the Lord gave to Caleb Hebron and other parts of the country there for an inheritance. That just completes the story. I think it would have been wrong to leave it out. But I'm just showing you that God honored what Caleb prayed for. And God honored the promise that he had given unto Caleb. He inherited Hebron. And he took his children with him. Isn't that great? Tonight, I'm going to look at a man on the opposite end of the scale. And really, it's a striking contrast, and I hope you can come. And we want you to pray just the same. The Lord will preserve this voice. Lord, speak on today. My prayer is, Lord, let me learn to wholly follow the Lord. Thank you for your patience. And all the time I'm preaching today, I had to struggle with this distraction. And I think the Lord has helped us. Nevertheless, may the Lord bless his word to your heart.